The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire mesechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Erevin daf kaf dalet. In today's shir, we're going to introduce a fundamental yitzoid from the Chazon Ish, which is very simple, but its application is very widespread and very pertinent to the construction of modern-day urban Eruv. The Gemara Kaf Dalet on the base relates about a rachvo, hahi rachvo, a certain wide area which was more than two saw, and it wasn't hukuf ledira. And this we know, that any wide area which is more than a saw sayim in area and has not been surrounded for the purpose of dwelling or living in it, because it has no dwelling or living functions, cannot be regarded as Rosh HaYochid, even if there is a fence all the way around it. But it is, in fact, regarded as a Karmelis. The halachas of the Karmelis, as we know, you can't take from Rosh HaYochid into a Karmelis and vice versa, or from Rosh HaRamim into a Karmelis and vice versa, and in a Karmelis itself, you can't carry anything more than four amas at a time. Now, this particular rachva, which was a karmelis because it was more than saw Simon, it wasn't hukuf ledira, had on one side of it a mavui which led out to Rosh HaRabim, and the Mefarshim explained that at the top of the mavui where it joined Rosh HaRabim, there was actually a Tzuras HaPesach. On the other side of the rachva, diametrically opposite to the mavui, on the other side of the rachva, was a shvil shel kromim, a path which went through a vineyard which had walls on either side of it, and it led down towards a river bank, and the end of the Shvil Shel Kromim was in fact a river which was itself higher than 10 tefachim from the water, so that was considered as though it was enclosed as well. So in effect we have a rachva which is more than sasayim, nor hukuf ledira, and so it's a karmelis, and off it on one side was a mavui with the Tzuras HaPesach at the other end. Well, on the other end was a Shvil Shel Kromim with a river at the end, so it was all in all an enclosed area. Now the trouble is that it all, because the rachva was not hukuf ledira, the whole area now becomes a karmelis. So the Gemara wants to consider how we can rectify the situation in order to avoid this rachva and becoming remaining as a karmelis. So says our buyer, what can we do? If we put a new mechitza at the end of the Shvil Shel Kromim, that won't help us. In other words, the way to adjust a karfuf shelo hukuf ledira, an area of more than sasayim which has a fence around it which has not been made for a dira, is to renew the walls and create the wall in such a way that it is now surrounding the Karmelis, or surrounding the Karfuf, specifically for the purpose of the Dira. And in order to do that, we have to take apart part of the wall and then rebuild it. So, as we've seen now in the Gemara earlier, in order to take a Karfuf, Shalom Hukuf Ladira, and create them to Hukuf Ladira, we have to change its functions for dwelling, and then we have to actually change the wall around it. And we have to take away at least 10 amas of the wall, so there's a big piritza in the wall, and then we have to rebuild that part of the wall so that it should be now with the intention of being used for dira, for dwelling purposes. We don't have to fill in the entire hole, but we have to fill it in so that the gap now becomes less than 10 amas, and in that way we've now been makif the kaf of ladira. In this case, the walls, as the Mefarshim explained, were made of thick stone, and it would be very, very difficult to take apart the wall and then rebuild it again. So actually taking apart the wall of the rachva wasn't a realistic possibility in our case. So the first suggestion was, make a new mechitza at the end of the Shvil Shel Kromim by the riverbank. And in that way you've added to the mechitzas of this whole area, and you're doing it now specifically in the Shem Dira. So the Gemara, that's a problem, because since the riverbank is already considered as a mechitza, because it's higher than the river, more than 10 tefachim, so we already have a mechitza there. So you can't build a new mechitza on top of an old mechitza. It doesn't count. It's regarded as though the old mechitza is still there. So that's out, says the Gemara. So what should we do? says Abaye, maybe we'll make a Tzuras HaPesach at the top of the Shvil Shel Kromim, not at the end of the river, but at the other end, where the Shvil Shel Kromim opens up into the Rachbo. If we put the Tzuras HaPesach there, then we've now closed off the Shvil Shel Kromim, which was till now a Mavui with three sides, walls on three sides, the two walls of the Shvil Shel Kromim and the riverbank at the other end. If we now put the Tzuras HaPesach at the top of the Mavui, we've now effectively closed off the Mavui itself. And, says Abaye, explains Rashi, since we have made a important mechitza regarding the Mavui, there is a principle that migu, that it helps for the Mavui, it helps also to be part of the mechitza for the Rachbo as well. So without going into that, also migu, that was Abaye's first suggestion. He says, Abaye, this is not realistic in our case either. Why? Because gemalim, camels, were very frequent in the neighborhood, and they would come from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin down the Mavui, across the Rachbo, and down the Shvil Shel Kromim to drink water from the riverbank. Now, if we put a Tzuras HaPesach between the Rachbo and the Shvil Shel Kromim, then when the camels go down the Shvil Shel Kromim, they will knock the Tzuras HaPesach off the walls, and therefore it will be broken. So that's not a good eitzah in our particular case. Points out the Meiri that even if the camels haven't yet knocked it down, if there are camels that frequent the neighborhood, and if the Shvil Shel Kromim is not wide enough, such that whenever a camel's going to go down it, it's going to knock the Tzuras HaPesach off, then already it becomes possible before the camels even come. Because just like we know that a Lechi, for example, has to stand up, as the Shulchan Aruch says, in Shin Shamach Gimel Sif Hei. He has to be able to stand in a Ruach Matsuya. He has to just be able to stand under normal weather conditions. So too, says the Mishnah Berurah there, the same halacha applies to a Tzuras HaPesach. So if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, which is two sticks on either side, vertical sticks on either side, and a bar going across the top, then it has to be in place in such a way that it will stay there under normal, natural weather conditions. And that includes, says the Meiri, conditions upon which even though it would stand in a strong wind, but if it wouldn't stand when animals pass, and animals frequently pass, then it's also not called a permanent Tzuras HaPesach. And therefore, if camels are likely to come and knock it down, then even before they actually knock it down, it's already possible. So Abaye says that's not a realistic possibility in our case either. Says Abaye, and therefore rather than make a Tzuras HaPesach at the top of the Shvil Shel Kromim where it joins the Rachbo, rather just put a lechi there. Explains Rashi that a lechi can be very, very thin indeed. And then you won't have the problem of the camels knocking it down. Adkan la Gemara l'inyonenu, Rava asks the question on it, Rava has a different suggestion, but al kofonim l'inyonenu, that's what the Gemara says. Ask the Chazon Ish in Erevin Tzimun Pei Vav Sif Kotten Hei. That first of all, his first question is, if you can put a lechi at the top of the Shvil Shel Kromim and the camels won't knock it down, then why can't you put a Tzuras HaPesach? The only difference between a lechi and a Tzuras HaPesach is that a lechi is one vertical stick on one side of the entrance to the Mavui, and a Tzuras HaPesach is two vertical sticks. Now, true, the Tzuras HaPesach needs a lintel on the top as well. But although the Chazon Ish doesn't talk this out, presumably he means to say that if that's the problem, then we can make the lintel high enough that the camels won't knock it down. That shouldn't be a problem. The trouble is on the sides, when the camels go down the Shvil Shel Kromim, they knock off whatever's hanging and stuck onto the walls. But if you can put a lechi on and safely get away with it, why couldn't you put a Tzuras HaPesach there? Says the Chazon Ish, well, first of all, a Tzuras HaPesach, you need a stick on either side. And therefore it's more likely to get knocked down than if you only have a small, thin stick on one side. Furthermore, a Tzuras HaPesach has to have a certain amount of strength to it. It has to be strong enough to hold a Deles Shel Kash. And therefore, there has to have a certain amount of thickness. And maybe the circumstances were such that if you put the Tzuras HaPesach, then both of the doorposts on either side will be thick enough to hold the Deles Shel Kash. That already would be likely to be knocked off by passing camels. So to Chazon Ish, and here we come to this important Nekuda. Why do they not simply put the Tzuras HaPesach on the outside of the Shvil Shel Kromim into the Rachva. In other words, if you can imagine yourself coming from the river up the Shvil Shel Kromim, if you place the Tzuras HaPesach on either side of the end of the walls, then it's possible that a camel coming up the Shvil Shel Kromim or down will squeeze against the walls and knock off the Tzuras HaPesach. But if you put it just past the end of the wall, either as an extension of the wall on either side, an extension of the right-hand wall, you put there a stick, not inside the model, but just outside as an extension of the wall. And then on the same thing, on the left-hand side, as you're coming up the Shvil Shel Kromim, put the other post of the Tzuras HaPesach as an extension of the wall just outside it. And then the camels won't knock him down. Just like the camels can fit between the two walls, they'll fit exactly between the Tzuras HaPesach. Or, better still, says the Chazon Ish, move it a little bit round the corner from the Shvil Shel Kromim. So again, if you imagine yourself coming up the Shvil Shel Kromim from the river towards the Rachba, just round the corner on the right and just round the corner on the left, you put your doorpost for the Tzuras HaPesach and you put the lintel on top of that. And then you would have no problem with the camels knocking it down. So why did the Gemara not suggest that as a pertinent solution to the problem? Says the Chazon Ish, from here we see an important aside. It's apparent from this Gemara, and the Chazon Ish mentions this in various other places as well, in Erevin and Simon Ayin, you've got Yud Zayin, and in other places the Chazon Ish points out this important yesod. And he says like this, although the halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Samach Gimel Tzif Test, that if you have a lechi, which is a one single vertical post, at the top of the mavoi, there you can actually have it outside the mavoi. It doesn't have to actually be inside the mavoi, but it can be just round the corner of the mavoi as well. The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch is Bein Chiniris Belitas Halechi La'endim B'Toich HaMavoi Ve'Ein Aniris La'endim Bachutz. Whether the lechi can be seen from anybody who's standing inside the mavoi, even if it can't be seen by anyone standing outside, or Bein Chiniris La'endim Bachutz. But if you, even if the lechi can be seen from the outside, but can't actually be noticed from someone standing inside, it's still kosher. This is based on the Gemara Erevin Daf Tes on the base. Says the Chazon Ish, it's apparent from our Gemara that only applies to the halachos of lechi, but when it comes to the halachos of Tzuras HaPesach, the Tzuras HaPesach has to be actually sticking into the inside of the mavoi. But if the Tzuras HaPesach is on the outside of the mavoi, or even if it is an extension of the walls of the mavoi, but doesn't actually stick inside towards the space between the two walls of the mavoi, then it's not counted as a Tzuras HaPesach. And the concept seems to be that the idea of a Tzuras HaPesach is a doorway which sections off the mavoi from the rest of the whatever's beyond the mavoi, and therefore it has to be recognizable to someone standing inside the mavoi. So if you're coming up the Shvil Shel Kromim from the river, if at the, towards the end of the walls you see on the right hand side fixed onto the wall but sticking into the space of the shvil, you see one post, and then the same thing on the left hand side and the lintel on the top, that's a kosher Tzuras HaPesach. But if you put the Tzuras HaPesach on the ends of the walls, but they're not actually inside the wall, but can continue on the wall, or worse still, around the corner of the walls, then someone standing in the mavoi will not be able to see the two doorposts of the Tzuras HaPesach at all. And in that case, it's possible. Says the Chazon Ish, that's why Abaye didn't make such a suggestion. The only way to make a Tzuras HaPesach were to put the two posts of the Tzuras HaPesach inside the Shvil Shel Kromim, and that would be problematic because the camels would have knocked it down every time they passed by. And with this, as a Chazon Ish, we can understand why would it be easy to put a lechi there, not just because a lechi is only a single post and it can be thinner than a Tzuras HaPesach, because a lechi you can actually put as an extension of the wall, and therefore you wouldn't have the problem the camels knocking it down. Whereas if you want to use a Tzuras HaPesach, that has to be actually inside the mavoi, otherwise it doesn't count. Now, this halacha, the Chazon Ish, has important applications to every or most modern day Eruv. Why? Well, the Shulchan Aruch in Tzim Shin Samach Gimel, the Ramor there says that nowadays the minhag is that all mavois we actually put at the top of it a Tzuras HaPesach, because all the mavois that we have nowadays, says the Ramor, has a din of a chotzer, and therefore the minhag is to put a Tzuras HaPesach there. And for a Tzuras HaPesach, we just tie a rope across the lintel, the rope or a string will be the lintel on the top of the end of the mavoi. But, says the Ramon, don't make the mistake of thinking that this string doesn't serve as a Torah of Pesach, but it serves simply as a Koira, because on the top of a Mavoi sometimes you can have either a Lechi or a Koira. A Lechi is a single vertical post, or a Koira is a single horizontal post across the entrance of the Mavoi. So the Ramon, in our case, using a string cannot function as a Koira, because a Koira has to have a minimum width or depth, so to speak, into the Mavoi of one Tefach. And the string clearly doesn't have that. But the way it works, rather, is that there's a Torah Pesach, because the string is too thin to be a Koira. It has to be. It can only be used as a lintel for a Torah Pesach. Well, in that case, says the Ramon, we're going to need two posts on either side as well in order to serve as a Torah Pesach. Had it just been a Koira, you don't need doorposts for a Koira. But since it's too thin to be a Koira, and we want to make it something more effective, which is a Torah Pesach, we'll have to have two doorposts on either side, and across that you can put even a thin string. So says the Ramon. Raises the Mogen Avraham there, in Sifkot and Kafkes, an interesting question. If we have two parallel walls of the Mavoi ending up turning into the street, so to speak, then why can't we use those two walls as the two doorposts of the Torah Pesach and just put a string across the top? In other words, if the walls of the Mavoi come up towards the Rosh Hashanah, there's one on the right, one on the left, then the wall itself, the thickness of the wall, could be used as a Torah Pesach, and we could have put a string across the top of that. So the Mogen Avraham, we can't do that. We actually have to have two doorposts added as well, as the Ramah points out, because you can't use the walls of the Mavoi as the two sides of the Torah Pesach. But the Mogen Avraham doesn't explain why you can't do this. Now, one suggestion that some poskim suggest is that a Torah Pesach, the doorpost of the Torah Pesach, apart from having a fixed height according to Halacha, also have a limited amount of depth. How deep they can go into the Mavoi and still be considered as a doorpost of a Torah Pesach. Now, if we're talking about when the width of the doorpost, as it sticks out into the space of the Mavoi, there, with the Sivas Shabbos from Rav Bloy in Perek Yud Tes, Sif Yud Zayin, discusses that question, and he notes in Sifkot Mem that the Achronim imply that that's fine, and they can even stick out more than four amas into the space of the Mavoi. So if you have a wall, both walls of the Mavoi coming out towards the Rishon, and then the walls themselves turn at a right angle and poke out into the entrance of the Mavoi, then you can use that for the Torah HaPesach, for the two posts of the Torah HaPesach. And even, according to the Achronim, if they stick out a considerable distance, more than four amas. However, he quotes the Makor Chaim as saying that if it sticks out more than four amas, then that's already a problem. That's not a Torah HaPesach. You can't use that for Torah HaPesach. According to those who are matter it, says Rav Bloy in the Sivas Shabbos, it still would appear that as far as the depth of the mezuzahs of the Torah Pesach is concerned, how far they go inwards towards the depth of the Mavoi, the Chori said it wouldn't be applicable if the doorposts went into the Mavoi more than four amas. But if they're so wide that as you walk down the Mavoi more than four amas, you're still walking past the doorpost, that the Chori said would not appear to be a doorpost at all, and you wouldn't be able to use such a thing for Torah Pesach. However, he points out that the Chazon Ish in several places does imply that that would be okay, but he doesn't give us any Mayim Makomos as to which Chazon Ish he's referring to. So it's possible, it's been suggested, that the reason why the Mogen Avraham says that if the walls of the Mavoi end at the Rosh Hashanah and don't actually point back inwards towards the space of the Mavoi, that they can't be used as a source of Pesach. Perhaps the reason is because the walls of the Mavoi themselves are much longer than four amas, because however deep the Mavoi is, it's always going to be deeper than four amas. And therefore, the walls of the Mavoi can't be used as the post of a Torah Pesach, because they go too deep into the Mavoi. They go into the Mavoi more than four amas. That's one suggestion. But according to the Chazon Ish we discussed earlier, it's a lot simpler. The reason why you can't use the walls of the Mavoi as the doorposts of the Torah Pesach is because someone standing inside the Mavoi has to be able to notice that there is a Torah Pesach here. And if you're using the walls themselves, then he doesn't see two doorposts. Just like we said that if the two doorposts of the Tzoros HaPesach are flush with the walls of the Mavi, continuing the walls of the Mavi, so to speak, or if they're round the corner on the right and on the left of the Mavi, then you can't notice it if you're standing inside the Mavi. You won't see the doorposts of the Tzoros HaPesach, and therefore it's no good as a Tzoros HaPesach. So Kol Shekein, the walls themselves of the Mavi can't be used as the two doorposts, because there's not nikkur that there is a Tzoros HaPesach there. And therefore you won't be able to use the walls of the Mavi as a Tzoros HaPesach. So it's no good just putting a string across the top of the walls of the Mavi. You have to have two doorposts inside the Mavi, one on the right, one on the left, and then you will, someone standing inside the Mavi will be able to notice that the Tzoros HaPesach are there. In that case, there will be a functioning Tzoros HaPesach. Now, this has a lot of practical applications, not only when you're talking about a Tzoros HaPesach building a Tzoros HaPesach at the top of a Mavi. For example, what happens when we come to regarding a bridge? Imagine you have a bridge, and if you think about it, if you have walls on either side of the bridge supporting the bridge, then the bridge itself could possibly, underneath the bridge, be considered as Rosh HaSayochid. And this is actually suggested by Chumash Evan Yekorah, and is quoted in the Sefer Sha'orim HaMetzuyon Balacha and Siman Pei Beis Sif Cotton Tess. He says that every bridge nowadays, since it's supported by two walls, or very often supported by two walls, underneath the bridge will be considered Rosh HaSayochid. Why? Because you've got a mechitza on either side, and at the end of the bridge, in other words, if you're looking at the bridge from from the side of the bridge, then in front of you, you've got a Tzoros HaPesach, and then you travel underneath the bridge, and you come to the other side, and there's another Tzoros HaPesach there, because you've got a wall on the right-hand side and a wall on the left-hand side, and they both come to the edge of the bridge. So in fact, you've got a Tzoros HaPesach on one end of the bridge, and coming underneath the bridge, a Tzoros HaPesach on the other end. And therefore, you have a completely enclosed area underneath the bridge, and should be regarded as a Rosh HaSayochid. However, the points out the Sha'orim HaMetzuyon Balacha, that would only apply if the wall, when it comes out to the edge of the bridge, actually then makes a right angle and pokes into the space under the bridge a certain amount. Because if not so, then you can't use the walls which are holding the bridge as the Tzoros HaPesach itself. Again, for the two reasons we mentioned earlier, if you can't have a Tzoros HaPesach which is deeper than 4 amos, then it's going to be a problem, because the whole area under the bridge, the walls which go under the bridge, if they go further, if the bridge itself is wider than 4 amos, then the walls underneath it are going deeper into the area 4 amos, and therefore they can't be used as a Tzoros HaPesach. But according to the Chazon Ish's reason, which is even more simple, you can't use the walls of a Mavi for a Tzoros HaPesach. So if you're standing under the bridge and you're looking out on one side, you'll have the wall on your right hand side and the wall on your left hand side, and the roof on top of you, so you can see a square, so to speak, of space at the end of the or where the bridge ends underneath the bridge. However, you won't actually see a Tzoros HaPesach. The walls on either side are like the walls on the Mavi, and the roof is like the roof. But in order to be considered as a kosher Tzoros HaPesach, you have to be able to notice something sticking inside the Mavi, apart from the walls themselves. And since you won't be able to see that in the bridge, you can't use that as a Tzoros HaPesach. Well, in that case, the area underneath the bridge would not be considered a Tzoros HaYochid, because you don't have a kosher Tzoros HaPesach on either end. The shape is the shape of a Tzoros HaPesach, but there's no mezuzahs there, because you can't use the walls of which are holding up the bridge as the Tzoros HaPesach, because they are not a separate entity from the walls of the Mavi. They are the walls of the Mavi, and there's no posts on either side which are inside the Mavi, so to speak, or inside the Rosh HaYochid, which are noticeable as the Tzoros HaPesach. And another very important practical application of this is when you regard the bridge not so much as the area beneath the bridge being Rosh HaYochid or not, but whether we can use the bridge itself as a Tzoros HaPesach. If we're making an Eruv in town, then often we need an area around the edge of the Eruv, which we set up a Tzoros HaPesach for the edges of the Eruv itself. Now, can we use a bridge as part of our Eruv? Because if you're standing inside the area which you're sectioning off by the Eruv, and you're looking at a bridge which runs from right to left, so looking at the bridge, there's a Tzuras HaPesach there. We have one pillar holding up on the right-hand side, one pillar holding up on the left, and a bridge going across that. So in effect, we have the exact shape of a Tzuras HaPesach. So can we use that as a Tzuras HaPesach? Much like we used telegraph lines, which is a whole shaila unto itself. And this very practical shaila came up when regarding the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Many years ago, there was a Talmud Chacham called the Sherp Sirov, and he wanted to suggest making an Eruv on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And he said, you have on three sides the East River and the wall which fronts the East River, which is a proper mechitza. And then on the fourth side, you have the Third Avenue elevated train line, which runs from one end to the other. And an elevated train line may look just like a classic Tzuras HaPesach. You can see the support beams as the chayayim, the two doorposts, so to speak, on the Tzuras HaPesach, and the overhead train tracks as the lintel. And therefore, he said, the Sherp Sirov, the chayra we would have here Tzuras HaPesach all the way along, and that would be our fourth mechitza. However, according to what we've discussed, that's going to be problematic. According to the Chazon Ish, as we noted, is mukach from the Gemara Lichayra from here and in other places, that the Tzuras HaPesach has to be distinct from the walls which it's purported to section off. So in other words, in the case of the Mogul, you have to be able to notice the Tzuras HaPesach from inside the Mogul. Now, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach by itself, like a telegraph line, that could be considered as a Tzuras HaPesach, as a to section off an area of your Eruv. But if the Tzuras HaPesach has depth, like this bridge is going to be, well, first of all, according to those who understand the Mogen Avraham, to say that any Tzuras HaPesach which has more than 4 hours depth cannot be considered as a Tzuras HaPesach, then you wouldn't be able to use this bridge either. And because underneath the bridge from one side to the other side is more than 4 amos. But according to the Chazon Ish, it's also not going to work, because the whole concept of the Tzuras HaPesach is that it's a separate entity, it's clearly a doorway. And therefore, if you're inside the Mogul, apart from the end of the Mogul, you actually have to see two doorposts and a lintel to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Or even if you have a Tzuras HaPesach by itself, standing alone, that could also count as a Tzuras HaPesach, as we use often for an Eruv, to go around the area which you want to use as an Eruv. However, to use a bridge is problematic, because there, although it has, viewed from the side, has the shape of a Tzuras HaPesach, actually there's not two doorposts, distinct doorposts and a lintel, but rather two long walls and a long roof. And again, according to the Chazon Ish, since that can't be seen as a distinct two doorposts and a lintel, but rather it's a deep wall, then lechora that would not be able to be used as a Tzuras HaPesach. So there from the side it looks like a Tzuras HaPesach. Since it's got a lot of depth, it's not just the fact that it's more than 4 amos deep, but the fact that it's got depth means that in fact it's not any more considered as a doorpost, but rather it's considered as a deep wall on either side. Lechora that would be problematic. If that's the trap, then it would be problematic to use the side of a bridge as a Tzuras HaPesach. So again, to summarize, the nekuda that we've learned today from the Chazon Ish is that when you're making a Tzuras HaPesach, it has to be clear and distinct from someone who's viewing it. So if you're standing in a Mavli and you want to make a Tzuras HaPesach at the end of the Mavli, it has to be seen from inside the Mavli, so the two doorposts have to stick out at least a little bit into the space of the Mavli. But if they're flush with the walls of the Mavli at the end, or around the corner on either side of the walls of the Mavli, then it's not considered as a kosher Tzuras HaPesach. And there'll be practical nafkaminas regarding such things as using a bridge, the sides of a bridge for a Tzuras HaPesach, and other nafkaminas that we've mentioned earlier.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present the shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223, or email info@thehalachacenter.org.